Exodus 17. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against him. This is a good way to hide the word in your heart. Let somebody read it to you, sing it to you. We've talked about some of the names of God. God called himself when he appeared to Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, Almighty God, our God who's more than enough, El Shaddai, God who's sufficient, God who has the power to do every good thing. It's a wonderful name for God. There's also Jehovah, which means the self-existent one, the one without beginning or ending, the one who reveals himself, the one who's always been. And then there's Elohim, which has to do with the God of power. Now, what God called himself depends upon the situation, depends upon what was involved. And then there are people. Abraham gave God a name. He called God. He realized who God was and what God did when he went to sacrifice Isaac on the altar and there was a ram caught in the thickets, and he called God Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. It really means the God who sees ahead and provides, though we don't say it that way often. That's very significant. The God who sees ahead and provides, Jehovah Jireh. That was the word of Abraham. Gideon called him Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Gideon was very, very afraid, and he realized that he had no reason to be afraid, that God was with him, and so he called him Jehovah Shalom. Now, the one I want to highlight today, there are 7 and 8, depending upon who you read, compound names of Jehovah. Jehovah, remember, the self-existent one, the one who's always been, the one who has no beginning or ending. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, the God who's always present. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God of righteousness. There are 7 of those. And there's an 8th one, which is sometimes included. It depends on who writes the list of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angelic forces, which is sometimes used. But they're compound names. The reason there's 7 on one list and 8 on another is because the 7 are directly related to the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. The 8th, you see, he was always the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angelic forces. So sometimes people don't include that in the list of the 7. But here in this story, we have Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord, our banner. A banner is a flag. Now, there's a reason for a flag. First of all, a flag expressed loyalty to a country, an association. Sometimes you have yachts with big flags. They're representative of loyalty. They're also representative of unity, which is why people burn the flag today, because they're not united. Their heart is not with us. They represent unity, and they represent loyalty. So when you call God Jehovah Nissi, you're talking about the God of the banner, the God of the flag, sometimes interpreted the captain, the founder, the pioneer, the leader. That's who I want you to see today, because when we see who God is, we're going to see healing in broader measure. Now, this is Moses, verse 8, coming against Amalek, fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, verse 9, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. This is a wonderful passage to teach helps ministry in the body of Christ. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there, and Aaron and Hur, helpers, stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the same, and Joshua discomforted. I love that. Have you ever been there? Been discomforted? We wouldn't say that, but that's real descriptive, isn't it? Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have, that who's you're depending upon, war with Amalek from generation to generation. He promised an end to Amalek, and the end came under the David, you remember. There's a war with Amalek under the kingship of Saul, and then it was under David that the Amalekites were completely put underfoot. You remember when they came and destroyed, it was Amalekites that destroyed the city of Ziklag, which was David's home city, and took the women, the children, all the possessions. And David asked the Lord, when he came back, the city had been burned to the ground, everybody was gone. He said, shall I pursue? And the God said, you will recover all. It's a wonderful healing verse. You will recover all. You will recover all. So he pursued and defeated Amalekites, and that's the end of what we see, the Amalekites. But here Moses had victory over the Amalekites because he depended on the Lord, Jehovah Nissi. He realized that the Lord was the captain. The Lord was the flag. It was loyalty to the Lord that brought them victory. It was following the word of the Lord that brought victory. And that's what Jehovah Nissi is. It's victory, it's triumph, it's ability to conquer that comes by following the word of the Lord, by letting the word of God and the Spirit of God guide us, by knowing this doesn't really depend on me. It depends upon God in me and my ability to follow God and to let him guide my life and bring me to complete victory. Jehovah Nissi, the God, the Lord, our banner. And your margin may be marked that way, the Lord, our banner. Now look at the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. I'll show you the same concept in the New Testament. God said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. So if he was ever Jehovah Nissi, if he's ever the captain, the leader that led you to victory, he still is. Problem sometimes is we're not listening. You been there? 2:10. Let's read verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. Do you know his death was by the grace of God? Have you ever put that together? That's startling. Should taste death for every man, for it became him, that's God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, which is Jehovah Nissi, which is the same concept as Jehovah Nissi, make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. God intended for him to taste death or to participate in death so that we could be free, and Jesus was going to be the captain to see that that was accomplished. Now, we know you have many ranks in the military, but this is just captain and military force are soldiers. And the captain always gives the orders, takes the lead. The men don't give the order, and the captain comes behind and says, okay, that's good. We could do that. But the captain is the one who establishes the authority, who gives the plan, who lines the men up to perform that plan. So when he's the captain of the salvation, he's the leader of salvation. It was under his banner, under his flag, loyalty to the Father and to the people whom God created that caused him to be the captain of salvation. Now the word salvation, that the captain of their salvation, perfect is always a good word, no matter how you use it. We'd bake your cake and say, perfect. Have you ever baked one that wasn't perfect? I left the eggs out of one. That's when I figured out what eggs are for. They're leavening. They make the cake rise. No eggs, you have a pancake. It was a tasty pancake. Now look at Romans 1. Here's what I want you to get. This is very important. We've divided the plan of salvation into two parts. There's the new birth, which everybody can have that believes. And then there's healing if it's the will of God. That's what most churches believe. And so they divide it, and they take what God intertwined and meant to be one thing and make it two things. The word salvation is inclusive of both aspects, every aspect of God's personality, everything he wants to do in your life. We read where he said, I'll be a God unto you, I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Well, a father doesn't just want you to be safe, he wants you to be healthy and safe. And church religion has divided the two concepts of, and so when somebody says, well, he got saved, all we think about is he got born again, he's now a new creature. And that is the primary aspect, but it's not the only aspect, because they were parallel, they were joined together, they were unified. Now here's where you have that, chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We're talking about the totality of the gospel, the full good news, all the good news of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now the word salvation means rescue, safety, deliverance, health, protection, preservation, made whole, and to do well. It was never intended to be piecemealed. It was never intended to be divided. It was never intended to struggle and be one or the other, or be one and maybe the other. It's one word. It's used of forgiveness of sins in the scripture. It's used of healing. I'll show you that. Salvation. He's the captain of salvation, the captain of your healing, the captain of your health, the captain of your victory, the captain of your prosperity, the captain of your new birth. He is the captain that leads you to the full and blessings of God. And these two aspects are intertwined. Look at James chapter 5, the final chapter, I believe it is. I'm going to show you how we know this, because religion has divided them. And in dividing them, they say sometimes God heals, and then there's aspects that say God doesn't heal today. They've divided them and canceled them, or piecemealed them. Not so in the scripture. Not so, not so, not so. They work together. Now here, you see them working together. Verse 15. Verse 14, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. There's always people that will help you. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall, not might, shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And we see the intertwining of things that were intended to be intertwined, forgiveness and healing. They were intended to walk together. They were intended to be full together. Now, while you're there, turn one page over, probably it is in your Bible, to 1 Peter 2:24, which is very familiar to us. But you once again will see salvation, the new birth, and healing. Forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, the blotting out of sins, and healing. They go together. You can't separate them. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, sin ineffective in our life, we choose not to sin. We stand against sin and the power of the Spirit that's within us, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Once again, you see forgiveness, remission, the new birth, and healing intertwined. Now, some have said, by whose stripes you're healed means spiritual healing. I guess they can't read. But there's no such thing, actually, really. I understand the terminology. I'm going to see Romans 10:10, see what it says. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Not healed. Not restored. New. It wasn't spiritual healing you needed. It was to be made brand new. And he works from the inside, from the new birth, from the life of Christ within, to bring all that's inside to the outside, so that your flesh responds to salvation. So your flesh responds to the plan of salvation, to eternal life that's planted on the inside. By his stripes, the Old Testament says bruises or wounds, you were healed. It's in the past tense because it was done at Calvary. It was done through the cross. Just like the new birth is available to you, healing is available to you. The day you got born again should have been the day you were healed. But because of the way it's been taught and piecemealed, it's been pulled apart. And this is for certain. And maybe so, maybe not. I want you to rub out the maybes in your thinking and plant it in your heart that there are many, many verses, 1 Peter 2:24, Romans 10:10, that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, if you believe in healing, you believe in the new birth, you believe in the new creature, you believe in eternal life, you believe in health, you believe in prosperity, whosoever believeth receives. Now look at Psalms 103 and we'll see it again. They go together. They work together. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Here's the fullness of what God did and the fullness of what he wants you to receive. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Remission of sins, blotting out of sin, the new creature. Who heals all thy diseases, not some of thy diseases. Doesn't say who heals some diseases, who heals some people. He heals all who believe, just like he saves all who believes. He saves, makes whole. Who heals all thy diseases. Who redeems thy life, means to rescue from destruction or from calamity or corruption, from disaster. Crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And this is the fullness of what God wants you to enjoy, of the fullness of what the Son brought to you through his blood. The forgiveness, the healing, the redemption from destruction, kindness, mercy, goodness, good things, and strength. Well, if I brought you four presents, you just want to open one, or do you want to open all four? I'd be opening them all. Somebody brought me four. I'd be opening them all. I'd say, oh, you didn't have to. And he didn't have to. But he chose because of his great love. It says God so loved the world. It doesn't say he loved it. It says he so loved it. So is causes the borders of love to expand. Just like a giraffe is so tall, an elephant is so big, and the ocean is so wide, God's love is so big, it's beyond comprehension. Now, we flew into Russia to do some teaching. We were there 2 or 3 weeks. Then we flew into England and Scotland. And by the time I got on that plane to go home, that's the widest ocean I've ever seen in my entire life. I taught in Russia. Was it 3 or 4 hours a day, something like that, 4 days a week? I was just tired, just really, really tired. Joel had met us in Scotland, and I said on the plane, mid-ocean, I have to get out, I have to get out. And he goes, Mother, Mother. Thank God for the wisdom of children. You can pat yourself on the back, see? That wisdom came from you. They're wise because of what you put into them. You see the fullness and the totality of God's plan of the greatness of salvation. Now look at Isaiah 53. Why would you say, I don't want to be healed, I just want to be born again? How dumb would that be? Isaiah 53 is the plan that gives the fullness of the plan of salvation. If you look at verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. That word is sickness, weakness, distress. Surely he hath borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress. You'll find that in the Amplified. You can also find it in Strong's. And carried our sorrows. That's verse 4. The word sorrow is the word pain. And it starts with that wonderful word, surely. Now, if you said, I need a ride home, would you take me home? And I said, sure. If you knew I'm a person of my word and you didn't see me, you know I must have wandered in somewhere. I'm in the building somewhere because I promised you. I said, sure, I'll take you home. Sure, I will. And God said, this is sure to you. Sure to you, certain to you, absolute to you. And it can be translated absolute. It can also be translated therefore or however. It's when you go through life and you come to a bump in the road, you need to come to that therefore and say, therefore, he hath healed, delivered, taken my sorrow. Nothing brings more grief and sorrow than sickness. Especially if it's your body, the body of your children, somebody you love very much. The word born is very important. It means to lift up, to carry off, to remove to a distance as a substitute. To lift up, carry off, remove to a distance as a substitute. The word carried means the same thing, except it adds to carry the full weight of. All of it, no matter how heavy it was, no matter how heavy. He lifted up, he carried it off, removed it to a distance. And we're talking here not about sin, but about pain, about sickness, about weakness, and about distress. You can validate that in any Hebrew dictionary. And some, particularly the Jewish translations, the Hebrew, from great Hebrew translations, will say sickness and disease. And there's nothing better than to trust the rabbi. Because you and I don't know Hebrew. Do you? Me either. Surely he hath borne, lift up, carry. Now here's where we hear that word, because you're a Floridian, and you see the rocket go up in the air in years past. And what do they say when it finally takes off? They say, we have liftoff. Liftoff! We have liftoff! And that's what the cross says. It says, we have liftoff. Liftoff! And that's sin. That's the old man who was a sinner. And it's disease. And it brings health and healing. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and walk in health, even as your soul prospers. How are you going to prosper and walk in health if it wasn't accomplished through Calvary? How's that going to be accomplished? And it says above all things. You see God's priority list there, above all things. Now, when we traveled, Joel was not married at the time. When we first started traveling, he was home. We had dogs, dogs and more dogs. I've been delivered. Although the other day somebody sent me a picture of three little Pekingese, and I just went, I love them. They're so cute. Above everything else, if he doesn't load the dishwasher, if he doesn't vacuum, if he doesn't do any laundry for himself, and he was good at taking care of himself, but he doesn't. If he doesn't do any of those things, my priority above all things is to feed the dog. See, I had a lady come who didn't feed my dog. I had a can per day, 7 cans, and when I came back, I think 3 or 4 of them were still full. She didn't come every day. My heart was broken. now because we walk in love. See, love is something you have in you because of what Jesus has done, because of the fullness of God. So because we walk in love, I didn't say anything, but I checked her and marked her off my list. She never sat with my dogs again. I wouldn't allow that. She didn't volunteer. I don't think she wanted to come start with. She should have said so. But I marked her off because above all things, and she says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. That means you have a successful journey through life. Without God, without His Word, without the Holy Spirit, you will never have a successful journey through life. You're always going to trip over something. Wrong doctor. Insurance difficulty. Loss of job. One lady, she was a grandmother, and she was in a place of business. I did not know her. She was in a place of business, and I've seen her there several times before, and she's just talking. And you can see she suffered, and she said, you know, my granddaughter, well, and both of my grandchildren moved in with me, and they broke my lamp. And they're not very careful with my things. And you could see the pain in her being. Now, see, when you call for the elders of the church to pray over you because you're ill and you think you need help and assistance, their help is going to be monumental in your life. So what I did, I found out this little lady's husband had died years before and she didn't have any income. So she had gone to working as a security guard at one of these businesses where you open the gate for the big truck at night, you know. That's what she did. Well, she was far too old to do that. I mean, anybody can sit on a stool and open the gate, but she should have been home. And while she's not home, her grandchildren were tearing up the house. That was obvious. So I prayed and I thought about it and I pondered. See, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lead you to your healing. It's going to progress you until you know where to stand, what scripture to stand on, what doctor to call or not to call, what drug to take or not to take. He's going to lead you every step of the way, what clinic to go to, what healing seminar to go to. He's going to lead you. And He doesn't work the same in everybody. And you know that from reading the New Testament, because sometimes He spit in their eyes. Sometimes He laid hands on them. Sometimes they touched Him. Sometimes He merely spoke to them. Sometimes He went to their house. Many, many different ways to be healed. And it's by the Spirit and the unction on the inside, I'm going to know which is going to work best for me. What should I do? What should I do? And because it worked for you, doesn't mean it'll work for me. That's so very important. It's a point maybe we haven't stressed as much as we should. But when I find out what God wants, because the Holy Ghost is on the inside, because I'm a new creature, and in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is forgiveness, healing, saved, preserved, healed, made whole, health, rescue, delivered. In which of those words do you find healing? Almost all of them. Well, can we just mark that out because the church over a period of history has decided God doesn't always heal today? So I have to stand for what's truth. I have to stand for what's right. We have liftoff. I know we have liftoff. Now, I don't let my body tell me we don't, because it will. It'll say, you ain't got nothing. You are sicker than a dog. Yeah. You ever been there? Yeah. Well, I have. But we don't let our body speak to us. We only let the Word and the promise, what we know about the cross, what we know about Calvary, that I have the strength of the Lord. I have the goodness of God. I have freedom from destruction and His help in destructive situations. I have forgiveness and I have healing. That's what He promised were the benefits of heaven. And when you stand at the foot of the cross and then you go, you actually kneel at the cross and go stand at the empty tomb and go sit in the upper room. And when you do all that, you embrace the new life. You embrace the Spirit of God within and you allow them to guide you. Who is the captain of salvation? Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, the captain. Who's the captain? Who gives leadership here? God through His Word and by His Spirit. Jesus was the captain. He said, follow me. So that's what He said to the disciples. You follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, verse 5 it is. He was wounded for transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Do you see there, there's forgiveness and healing in the description of the work of the cross. There's both. Now, if we rule the healing out, the stripes out, we might have to rule out something else. How can we rule out one, not the other? Who authorizes that? Not the captain. So He's the captain. He's the captain. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow. If you follow Him, you follow Him to healing. You follow Him to the method that will work for you. One gentleman had had the Lord had given him a scripture in Philippians about where Paul said, I expect to be free by your prayers. And the Lord gave him that verse, and so he called in some people to pray for him. He was very ill. He called some people to pray for him. And he was healed over time, standing on their prayers. The next time he got sick, he's called those same men. Called them to come pray for him. I think it was his son that was hit sick, actually, not himself. He called those same men, and nothing happened. It didn't work. It just didn't work. And he couldn't figure that out. Till he heard from God. God said, I didn't tell you to call them this time. That's not the way I'm going to do it this time. See, does God want you to touch the man of God, or does he want the man of God to touch you, or does he want you to stand on the word? One fellow read healing scripture 7 times a day for months. Part of our problem is lack of commitment. I'm thinking, 7 times a day? Sheesh, that's before breakfast, at breakfast, before lunch, after supper, I think, shoo. And before bedtime, that's a lot of... I heard the testimony of one man, his wife was very ill and they wanted to do surgery. And he asked the doctor, was it an emergency? And the doctor said, I can give you 3 months. And if he knows this man, and he said, I'm going to pray for the doctor, and the man were acquainted. He said, the man said, well, I just want 3 months to pray for my wife and see what God would do. And so God spoke to him and said, I want you to pray an hour a day for your wife. And his first response was, well, what is her part? What is she going to do? She's the one who's sick. And God said, I didn't ask her to do anything. I ask you. He said, why is that? Because he's the head of the household. He's the head of the wife. That's why it is. Now, in some other case, God may let the man off the hook. But he prayed 3 weeks until his wife was healed. 3 weeks it took of praying. He said he marked his calendar, businessman marked his calendar for an hour every day. You see, how is God going to? It's in the plan. Healing is in the plan. Well, what's the delivery method? Is it coming FedEx, UPS, United States Postal Service? How's it coming? What does God want you to do? So very important. Surely he hath borne, lifted up, carried off, removed to a distance, our grief, sickness, weakness, and stress, and carried our sorrow and pain and punishment. But he was wounded for transgressions. Now, there's a slight difference in transgressions and iniquities, but it isn't a part of what we need to know today. Each are a sin. Sin number one or sin number two. Doesn't make any difference. He was chastened for our peace. That's punished. He was punished. One translation said, all that was necessary to bring peace to you was upon him. I love that. I love that. I love that. All that was necessary to bring peace to you. See, it's in my trust of him. In my know, this is what he did for me. It's enough. If nobody else gets this, I'm getting it. If nobody else has success, I will. And I'm not going by what I see. I'm not going by how I feel. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by the physical senses in any measure. And I'm going to be persistent. And then it says, by his stripes, and that is the word bruise. By his bruise, we are healed. Sometimes I just say, he was wounded, he was bruised, he was punished, he was beaten, so that I could be free of transgressions, iniquities, sickness, disease, and mental stress. And that helps me put it in vocabulary that speaks to my heart. With his stripes, we are. Now, what did Peter say? We were. Once again, what I want you to see is the intertwining of the new birth and healing. They're not two separate things. They're one thing brought through the blood of Christ. They're both available to you. Now look at Matthew. Let me show you that in the ministry of Jesus. These are the four men that brought their man to Jesus. They brought him on a pallet. They intended to open the door, walk up, and lay him in front of Jesus. But when they got there, the house was crowded. And there was no place to get in, so they went up on the roof. Now, here's the thing I want you to get, is to see their persistence. They didn't come with a ladder. They said, just in case we can't get in. They came, fully came, to walk through the door and lay him at Jesus' feet. It wasn't possible. So now they've got to, see, they're persistent. Well, they could have said, you know, I'm really sorry. We intended for Jesus to pray for you, but it won't work today. The crowd's too much, and I'm really sorry, and maybe another time. But see, they're persistent. They don't give up. They don't quit. They don't surrender. And that's where we have to come. We have to find what God is saying. It was delivered at Calvary. Now, how is Calvary going to work in my heart today? And be persistent. And they were persistent. So they go up on the roof. They ripped up the roof. Well, now you imagine they got to guess. If they're going to put him down in front of Jesus, they got to have some good guesswork or a lot of Holy Ghost. Because I don't know if you stood on your roof and see what you could hear from the inside or not, but that wouldn't be easy. And they put him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said to him, and he came for healing. This man couldn't walk. He said, verse 5, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 2, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And then verse 5, they questioned that. They said, who do you think you are? And he said, whether it's easier to say, now watch this. Phenomenal. Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Which would be easier? Well, if you're me and you, I can't forgive sins. I can't make you walk. Can't do either. And if they're both through Calvary, one's not easier than the other. Right? If they both come through the cross, if it's by your stripes you're healed, that same event where he was bruised, wounded, chastened, you see that. It isn't that one's bigger than the other. Because you can't heal, you can't forgive either. Well, he said, I can do both. And it's based on his death, yet future. Now, look at Mark 5. We got that. They're intertwined. They came through the cross. They came through Calvary. They came through the death and resurrection of the Lord. They're delivered to you by the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit has a specific word for you to receive what's already done. It's a delivery. Now, here's an example I heard a man give the other day, and I just loved it. If I were very, 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 very wealthy, extremely wealthy, and I said to you, I've bought you a car. I've contacted my insurance agent to pay the insurance on it for 5 years. And all I want you to do is go pick up that car. It is paid for, and the insurance is paid for, and the tag. And you would say to me, oh, give me 24 hours. I'll have to contact my bank and get a loan. Well, how dumb would that be? I just told you I bought it, if you trust me. See, one characteristic of Almighty God is he's faithful to his word. Faithful is he that calleth you. He's faithful. He always keeps his word. You wouldn't say I'm going to the bank. If you knew me, if you trusted me, if you knew I was very wealthy, you knew I always kept my word, you wouldn't say, well, give me 24 hours. I'm going to go to the bank. Why? Because it's paid for. It's already paid for. The car is paid for. Healing is paid for. You don't have to do anything. Well, what would you do? Perfect attendance in Sunday school? Pray an hour a day, read an hour of scripture a day, even on Saturday and Sunday. And what would you do to earn that? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. It isn't works. It's just not, hey, it's paid for. That cross paid for my healing, my strength, my remission of sins. Remission is bigger than forgiveness. It's blotting out. Paid for. It's all paid for. All he wants you to do is find out, and how's this coming to me? UPS? USPS, FedEx. Now, I don't know who it was. One of those codgers doesn't like to deliver to our house. I was nice. I was really nice. But I wanted to say, when Daddy was there, the ambulance came out to make sure that they could get in our driveway. We live way off the road under trees. They came out, sent somebody out to make sure they could get through the driveway, that the driveway was clear enough for an ambulance because Daddy had some issues. But the package people thought the trims were too low. They're not. They want us to trim up. They want us to cut down. They want us to clear out. Well, I thought maybe we should just mark you off the list. Because I figure if the ambulance and the fire engine can get down this driveway, you probably could too. You see, how is healing coming to you? Well, I'm going to have the elders pray for me. That's good. I'm going to read the scripture. This one verse. 50 times a day. I'm going to persist in whatever method. See, there's methods. There's methods. God doesn't give you a method. Choose your own. That's how that works. Now look at Mark chapter 5. I want to show you persistent. Verse 22, Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus in verse 23, besought him greatly, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed." See, that's what he believed in. He believed in the laying on of hands. He believed if Jesus touched her, she'd be healed. Well, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus is headed to Jairus' house. The woman with the issue of blood interrupted them. And they had a crowd and some things happening. She was healed. If you look at verse 34, I'll show you this is what Jesus said to her. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." That's the word salvation. It's not a different word. It's the same word. Thy faith has saved you. Thy faith has given you salvation because healing is a product of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The stripes of Jesus. Now, you can't receive stripes without losing blood. I guess you knew that, right? So there you have one example. There are many where healing is referred to as salvation, and this is one. "Now, while he yet spake," verse 35, "there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Okay. This would be a good time to give up. So you waited to blame the crowd, blame the woman with the issue, stomp your feet. Well, what did Jesus say to him? "Only believe. Be not afraid, only believe." So don't give up now, don't quit now, don't turn loose now. The God who heals the sick, remits sin, saves and makes you a new creature within, also raises the dead. I read of a funeral in a African country because of the sight of the crowd. When you do anything in Africa, everybody comes. They don't have to know you. They just come. And they had put the man's body in the basement because there was no room in the church for him. And after a while, he comes. He was dead. He'd been dead for several days. After a while, he comes walking up out of the basement. Because God heals. He brings health. He brings forgiveness and remission and eternal life, and he raises the dead. "I am the Lord thy God, I change not." Now, he's Jehovah Nessie. That's where we're going. He's the captain. How are you going to get there from where you are? See, if God said, "Okay, if you would fast 3 days," we're going to say, "No, I can't hardly do that." If you'd give up coffee, you'd think, "Whew, give me a month. I don't drink coffee so I can pick on you." Sometimes it's our lack of persistence. We hear, but we don't obey. If you don't hear anything, get it any way you want to. Because it's here, it's paid for, it's available. You don't have to earn it, you don't have to do anything. Healing is paid for. It was paid for at Calvary. And it comes to you delivered by the hand of heaven, delivered by the Spirit of the living God, who's the power of God. And it comes to you through the laying of hands, through the anointing of oil, through confession of your faith, and through gift. You see that, don't you? She said, "How's it coming?" Now, if grandma's coming to visit, you'd want to know she's taking the train. One lady we knew loved the travel trains, you know. She'd take the train to Atlanta, and her family would meet her there and put her on a train to somewhere in Tennessee. She loved that. She loved that. Every time she wanted to take, just take the train. Put me on the train. Well, I think I'd be happier if God said, "I'd put you on a plane." I think that would work better for me. And the older I get, the farther Atlanta is in my car. Have you noticed that? It is a long way. And if you go with me, you're going to make a lot of stops, which aggravates Wayne. So we leave home knowing we could get there driving straight through, but we won't be driving straight through. So we already have to believe for peace, peace, wonderful peace, and see if I know God is working. If I have his promise, if I have his shed blood of Calvary, and he's spoken to me and delivered a word, a method to me, or not, it doesn't matter, then I have peace because the chastisement, the punishment for our peace, all that was necessary for my peace was on him. That includes all kinds of mental disorders, mental distresses, and if you read the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, you will see mental distress. There are several verses in there. My favorite says, in the morning you say, "Would God it was evening." In the evening you say, "Would God it was morning." Great pressure, great mental distress. One lady, she got herself in a jam. She really did. And she said to me, "I don't know why I did that. But see, when I go contrary, she went contrary to what God has said. You go contrary, she went contrary to the law, the book, the love of God. Very contrary. Once God deals with me and I go contrary, I'm putting off what I need. I'm dragging my feet. I'm causing it to be further out than it would have been. And yet, this man was persistent because he didn't give up. He didn't surrender. Jesus said, she's dead. Can you imagine looking at somebody dead and saying, don't give up? And you're thinking, He said, don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't quit. Keep believing. And of course, he went to the house and spoke to her, say, arise, and she rose right up. Do you see faith in what inherits the promise? Faith and patience. Faith in what? Faith and patience. You have need of patience. Hebrews 10, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience, persistence. Don't give up, don't quit. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Sometimes our faith is really anchored. We haven't heard any word from heaven, but we're believing God and we're reading scripture every day and we're thanking him every day that we're healed. Or we have heard from God and we're using the method that he dictates to us. God doesn't always dictate a method, but you need to be aware that he does sometimes. I'd ask if it were me. Now look at 2 Corinthians. It might be 1 Corinthians. Let me get over there and see what it is. I believe it's 2. 2:14. That's a great verse. I'm going to read three great verses. Jehovah Nessie is the captain. The captain's not leading you to a ditch to fall into. He's not leading you into a trap. He's leading you to victory. The captain. Jehovah Nessie is the captain. He's the one who we stand under his flag, under his banner. We're loyalty to him, united to him. That's what the flag means. Loyalty, united. Now it says, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always, and that's the key word, always, causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor or the perfume or the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. I like that. It's a strange concept for us that knowledge would smell fragrantly. But it's a better concept than knowledge stinks. Or the time you burn the toast, or whatever it was you burned, the green beans. One lady burned her, I'm not sure they were green beans, but some kind of beans, she burned them. It says, knowledge of God is fragrant. Now, I was carrying Ashley one day. She was really little, and we were at a prayer meeting, and Suzanne was there, and I was carrying Ashley and praying across the back. And the gentleman came by that we know and love very well, and he said, can I hold Ashley? And I said, sure, and I handed him to Ashley. Well, we knew this gentleman very, very well, and he always wore the same kind of cologne. I mean, always, 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 always. If you smell that cologne, you'd say, where is he? So he carried her two or three strips and trips around the church, and then he came back and put her in my hands. Well, after the prayer meeting, Suzanne came, took her from me, and I handed her to Suzanne, and she said, has so-and-so been here? I went, mm-hmm. She smelled him, and he wasn't there. God said, I'm very fragrant. The perfume of heaven heals. It brings knowledge. It brings understanding. And then he said, I can always cause you to triumph. Now, here's the situation here. He couldn't find Titus. Verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. Taking my leave with him, I went from thence to Macedonia. He couldn't find Titus. When he said, God always caused me to triumph, he's telling you what you'll find out later, that he did find Titus. So he went and he found Titus. See, God said, I can cause you to triumph. Triumph is a wonderful word. You know that's when you win. Now look at Romans 8. That's when you win. How are you going to win? Faith and patience. You have need of patience. Following the direction of heaven. First, realizing that your healing is paid for. Second, finding out if God has any specific direction for you personally or not. And then fastening your faith. You know what fastens faith together? The paperclip of patience. I clip everything. I clip papers to the front of my Bible. Somebody was horrified, said, oh, you're going to ruin your Bible. I said, my Bible's already ruined because I read it. I read it and tear the pages out. Ephesians and Galatians are very delicate over here. And I saw a paperclip. So one year for Christmas, somebody gave me, I don't have one on this Bible, I used to have decorative paperclips. I loved them. They're so cute. So at Christmas time, I went and got red, blue, green, white, yellow. They come in a package of these huge colored paperclips. And I took out, I love trees. I took out one of my little trees. I probably have 10 or 12 trees in the attic. And I took out, sometimes I do one with my mother's handkerchiefs. My mother was a handkerchief person, and my grandmother. My grandmother kept her house key tied to the handkerchief. You've seen that? And so I paperclipped. They were so cute. The next year or two, I paperclipped something else to those little trees. I have some little ones. I have some big ones. I have several six-footers. And that's what happens. Faith and patience are paperclipped together to strengthen you to await the manifestation of what's paid for already. Now, here's the first thing we do. I can't stand this. I can't wait any longer. My back is killing me. Been there. You need to call then your helper. If you don't live with a helper, you need to find your helper. You need to call them on the phone. You should have a helper that if you take a deep breath, they'll say, Mabel, it's you. It's you. What is it, Mabel? What is it? Now look at Romans. Triumph. You got that word? Romans says more than a conqueror. It's in verse 37. We are more than conquerors through him. Through him. He makes us a conqueror. The captain. See, when Moses called God Jehovah Nissi, he was very well aware the victory they had over the Amalekites was orchestrated by heaven. You can't win a battle just because you got your hands in the air. I mean, go out anywhere. Face your enemy. Face your neighbor that's so negative and so obnoxious and put your hands in the air and see what happens. L nothing, though. I can tell you what happened. He knew that God had orchestrated that victory and he had received heaven's orders. He knew to stand there with his hands up because when he put his hands down, they started to loose. See, he knew the method. This is what God wanted. And he said, this is Jehovah Nissi. This is the captain. This is the flag bearer. This is our leader. This is our pioneer. This is our founder. That's what he knew. That's what he figured out. That's why he named it that. Now, it says we are more than conquerors. Conqueror always wins. Technically, it doesn't matter if you triumph or if you conquer. Now, I'll show you another one. Look at 1 John. You're getting this right. Yes. I'm studying all the time to make things clearer and clearer and clearer. 1 John 5, 4. I'll tell you why in a minute if I don't forget it. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Victory means you win. Triumph means you win. Conquer means you win. Well, what does it matter? If you triumph, you conquered. If you had victory, you triumphed. If you conquered, you had victory and you triumphed. It's different expressions with the same thing. You are the winner. You heard from God. You stood firm, not going by what you felt or what you saw or what your family. Families will kill you. Have you noticed that? If you have a family that doesn't believe like you. I was stood down on finances one day by a family member. And so I smiled and I said, you want me to help you in the kitchen? I'm changing the subject because I'm not going to fight with you. Triumph. That's good. Win. Conquer. Victory. Doesn't matter if he's the vine and you're the branch, or if he's the cornerstone and you're a building stone. Different expressions to capture different people to bring us all understanding. Now, if I'm the branch and he's the vine, then the branch is receiving the life that flows through the vine. Now, the Father is a husbandman, and what happens? You remember where he said, I will be God to you, I will be your Father, and you'll be sons and daughters? 2 Corinthians. If I'm connected, branch and vine, that I'm going to be in relationship to the Father, to hear the Father's voice, to know what the Father is saying. And if I get off key, God prunes those that are headed in the right direction, but a little bit off. He doesn't prune you to hurt you. He prunes you because you're growing up, you're growing strong, and he wants to see that this branch you got right over here, these I love, but this one, no, cutting that one off. And he prunes. That's what he says. He prunes those that are strong, that are growing. And in that relationship, you're going to hear from the Father. You can't tell me that branch doesn't hear from the vine. Because if it doesn't hear from the vine, it's going to die. And say, I'm going to hear from the Father. That's the impact of verse 7. Whatever you desire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Is that what it says? It's because I'm abiding that I'm going to hear from God. See, all I have to do is abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It doesn't mean I can ask anything I want. Just pick anything you want. God will do anything you want him to do. He won't. But see, because if I'm the branch and he's the vine, and the Father comes along to prune me when he sees I got one wild. Well, Wayne trimmed the crotons this morning. We have several that just go, some are this high and then there's this one. Well, what happened? I said, what happened to you? He pruned it. He wasn't trying to hurt it. God is not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to punish you. He's trying to provide for optimum listening ability. So that when you pray, you've heard from heaven. You know the Father through the Son, through your relationship with the vine. You see that, don't you? You look like I wrote that. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he takes away. That's what they do to orange trees. If they're bearing fruit, what do? They top them. You've seen, they bring the big equipment, square them off at the top. They didn't do that because they were dying. They did it because they were alive, because they had the potential to bear fruit. And when God sees that you're anchored for your healing and you're patient for your healing and you have, it's one writer said, abide and listen. This chapter says, abide and listen, abide and listen, abide and listen, abide and listen. I love that. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Why? It'll bring forth more fruit. He's not punishing you. He sees you have an opportunity to walk in the light, to receive from heaven, to be a part of God's commission, to go into all the world. He prunes those that are growing and functioning and working, those who have heard from heaven, those who are standing in faith and patience, and he clips them right off. Because he knows now they can step up higher, step up higher. Step up higher. You see that? And in that relationship, branch and vine, Father being the farmer, we can ask what we will because we're close enough to know the Father's will. Because we're connected to them and we know their will. You see that, don't you? And their will may be call for the elders. Their will may be just stand on the word, make your confession. Their will may be one fella. Decided he was going to praise God until he died or lived. And I know he heard from God because he got out in his yard, crawled out because he wasn't well enough to walk out, crawled out in his yard way down the street so nobody'd hear him, and began to sing and praise and shout. And hours later of singing and shouting until he was hoarse, he was totally healed. But see, if God told you to crawl out in your yard and stay under that bush and sing till I heal you, I said he wouldn't do that, would he? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. Let me read you this. This is the voice. This is the captain. It only makes sense that God, by whom and for whom everything exists, would choose to bring many of us to his side by using suffering to perfect Jesus. Jesus, the founder of our faith, the pioneer of our salvation. As I will show you, it's important that the one who brings us to God and those who are brought to God become one. And since they are all from the Father, that is why Jesus said, I'm not ashamed to call them family. You see that you're family. And God has a word for his family members. But family members don't have to. You know you can't learn to ride a horse from the barn. From the house. Or stand in the barn. And you stand there all you want and say, I sure wish I could ride this horse. I sure should know how to ride this horse. Well, if you don't know how to saddle a horse, or you don't want to break your fingernails, then you can call for somebody. Can you saddle this horse for me? I'm going to ride. And they're going to say, you're not going to ride. You're going to die. You look terrible. There isn't any worse news than your child is dead. And Jesus and that man looked death in the face and said, just keep believing. And I'll tell you what I tell you all the time. What if somebody asks, what if I believe God and I die? What if you die and you weren't believing God? Come on now. We thank you, Father. I just trust you make it real to us. Real to us. Real to us. Real to us. In Jesus' mighty name, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for you enlarging our understanding. Enlarge my understanding. Help me to declare it so that we can grasp it and hold fast to it. So we can hear from heaven. So that we can undo any mistakes we can make. So we can step up to higher plane. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.